From the Voice of America, this is Asia Weekly. South Korean President Park Geun-hye said she accepts a mandate from the National Assembly to shorten her term after hundreds of thousands of South Koreans have peacefully called for the president to step down. Despite her unprecedented 4% approval rating, the president managed to secure an intelligence sharing deal with Japan. What's the significance of the pact? Why isn't everyone happy about it? Hello, everyone. I'm Steve Miller. South Korean President Park Geun-hye is embroiled in a massive corruption and influence peddling scandal that has seen her approval ratings plummet to 4%. While authorities estimate that roughly 270,000 people protested near the Capitol last weekend, organizers have placed the number of South Koreans calling for Park's removal closer to 2 million nationwide. On Tuesday, the president read a brief statement in which she said she'd leave her fate up to the National Assembly and leave office when that body decides to shorten her term. Despite this domestic political turmoil, the president was able to ink an intelligence sharing deal with Japan to combat the growing threat of North Korea's nuclear and missile programs. South Korea's defense ministry said the deal would not only help restrain North Korea's activity, but enhance the country's security interest. The sentiment was also echoed in Japan, where its foreign minister said the deal was more important than ever in the security sphere as North Korea's nuclear development and missiles pose a different level of threat from before. Strat4 Vice President of Strategic Analysis Roger Baker breaks down the deal's significance.
Number one is in the ability of the two to actually share information, which ultimately may help each of them as they're trying to look at how they're going to either defend against North Korea or at least shape their policy toward North Korea. So South Korea may be better at some of the human intelligence collection and some other types of collection about what's going on in North Korea. Japan is better at the satellite imagery and the telemetry and such. And this gives them a capability to share in real time information that normally would have had to pass through the United States and only been partially parsed off to each of them. But I think the other aspect of it is really just the general concept that the two of them were able to sign this agreement. And it's not without a lot of questions and opposition in South Korea, but it does mark one more step by the Park administration to really try to break down the barriers and the resistance between the Koreans and the Japanese.
The Center for National Interest Director of Defense Studies, Harry Kazianis, adds,
having the capability to share intelligence as quickly as possible, hopefully with the speed of an internet connection and a computer, would truly be a game changer. And getting rid of Washington to not be the middleman anymore when it comes to this is extremely important. And there's another reason why this agreement is very important. It's very timely, considering the fact that the United Nations Security Council just passed some very sweeping sanctions on North Korea, things that would cut its exports by something like $800 million or 25%, is really going to squeeze the North Koreans. And we really look to see in the next probably few months, the North Koreans are going to be pushing up tensions to try to get those sanctions lifted or eased or whatever they can do to get them minimized. So in the next couple months, times on the Korean Peninsula could become very dangerous. So an agreement like this is very important.
China was none too pleased, noting South Korea and Japan were maintaining a Cold War mentality, which will increase opposition and confrontation on the Korean Peninsula. In Seoul, Yonsei University's Choi Jong-kyung questioned the need for such an agreement, telling VOA, "Do we not have enough deterrence and information sharing with the U.S. vis-a-vis North Korea? Are we really in grave danger?" North Korea has conducted two nuclear tests this year, and a number of ballistic missiles have been launched. Kim Jong-un vowed not to back away from these programs, which prompted the United Nations Security Council to pass the additional sanctions against Pyongyang that Harry Kazianis mentioned. In 2012, South Korea and Japan were headed toward signing a similar intelligence-sharing pact, but relations soured, and that scuttled the deal. Even today, Choi says some may try to undo what Park was able to achieve. But why is there so much resistance to directly sharing intelligence with Japan? Roger Baker.
One, the South Korean government has done a very poor job of explaining strategic interests to their own population, that they've done very little to really really help people understand the physical security component, particularly as the governments have tried to, you know, not look like they're connected to the old government, the old dictatorial or autocratic regimes in South Korea. So that's been very difficult. Secondarily, there's a long history in South Korea of animosity toward Japan. You know, the Japanese obviously annexed Korea back in the early 1900s. And in the Japanese occupation over that long period of time, it wasn't just a standard occupation. It was an occupation where in many ways the Japanese tried to erase Korean culture. And so many Koreans still hold that against them. And then there's a third piece that I think really plays strongly into the current issues with the Park government. And that is that Park's father, Park Chung-hee, was by many considered a collaborationist with the Japanese. And so they see what Park is doing with Japan as something that's in many ways against fundamental Korean interests and goes back a very long time in history.
Kazianis says the implications of the deal can already be felt, and not necessarily only on the Korean peninsula.
Chinese military officials came out and were strongly against this deal. And the reason being is quite simple. They see the deal as being created as sort of this new U.S.-Japan-Korea alliance that is really aimed towards Beijing and not aimed at towards North Korea. And I think that's a mistake on Beijing's part. I think it's very clear that the United States, Japan, and South Korea are very worried about the strength and capabilities of North Korea's military. So China looks at this and they see it from a different perspective. They see THAAD or much more advanced missile defense systems going into South Korea. They see now Japan considering that system. And then you plot this deal on top of it. It really creates a lot of worries in Beijing. So I think there's a small negative impact to this, but I think all three countries collectively can work with Beijing and explain why they need this deal and why it makes common sense.
If you enjoyed the podcast, please share it with your friends. And of course, to get the podcast delivered to you automatically, subscribe in iTunes. You can also download the podcast at voanews.com. That is going to do it for me this week. Thank you so much for listening. From Washington, I'm Steve Miller.